So I will talk about medium regression models in the context of longitudinal data, especially with missing observations. And medium regression models has been used quite often, especially in economics research area. So recently, there are some discussions in the context of survival data analysis and the framework of generalized linear models. And one advantage of medium regression model is it's relatively robust and easy to interpret. And in some situations, this could be more efficient than usual mean regression models. So I will focus on how to apply these regression models to deal with incomplete longitudinal data. And first, I will briefly review generalized estimating equation method and weighted GEE method, and spend a little bit more time on the detail of proposed method. And some numerical results will be discussed. So in longitudinal studies, we intend to observe a subject periodically over a certain time period. So here, yij indicate the measurement for subject I and a specific time point j. So for example, if we follow up a subject at six different assessment times, we want to collect these response vectors. And the key feature in this data is all those measurement components are severally correlated. So this is a kind of challenge in develop various type of inference methods. And some other possible approaches here, we could jointly model response components by specify a full likelihood form, or we could assume all these measurement components are independent, conditional on random effects. So we could use random effect models to deal with this several correlation. And another widely used method is we focus on the marginal information. So we could use some moment methods to deal with, say, first or second orders of moments. So this is so-called estimating equation method. And when we are interested in response vectors, usually we could have a set of interesting covariates available. So we are interested in studying the relationship between response components y and covariates vector xi here. If we want to understand the relationship between response components and covariates vector xi, we could use, if we assume our primary interest here is the marginal information of our response here. So there are two possible ways to characterize the marginal information of response process. We could either use mean or medium quantities to characterize the center of our marginal distribution. So if our interest lies in the marginal mean response, here mu I represents the conditional expectation of the response vector given covariates information xi here. Now, usual generalized estimating equation methods could be applied here. And in this structure here, we could notice each subject could contribute this typical forms here. We have epsilon I, which is the residual the difference between response information and our marginal mean. And we have the several correlation or association structure is reflected by this inverse covariance matrix. And we have, usually we would use regression methods to set up connection between response y and xi. So our primary interest would be the estimation of a parameter in our regression model. So here this di represents the derivative matrix of this residual vector epsilon I with respect to our regression parameter. If our interest, if the center of marginal distribution is quantified in terms of median instead of mean, now we could formulate GEE again. And in this case, you may notice the structure would be pretty much similar to the previous case when our interest is in marginal mean here. Again, we have a residual vector and covariance matrix and a certain quantity related to the derivative matrix here. But you may notice there's a major difference between the formulation of residual epsilon I here. If our center is characterized in terms of mean, then our residual is simply the difference of actual observation yi and the marginal mean. If our center is characterized in terms of median, then this residual is based on the difference of this indicator information, indicator variable, and half here. So because of this difference, the actual estimation procedure would be pretty much different. In this case, we may notice this residual is no longer a continuous function of our regression parameter, but for the upper part, it's usually a continuous function of regression parameter here. And I would like to mention for this generalized estimating equation, which is used to deal with the median models, John justified this formulation from the point of view of causal likelihood method. And Godemi justified this formulation from the point of view of optimal estimating functions. And we may also notice this formulation could be derived if the true distribution of our response follows the double exponential distribution. So in that case, the score function could give us this form. And in the previous case, if our response follows a multivariate normal distribution, then that formulation would give us score function. And usually, median regression could be used when our error distribution has heavier tails. So in that case, for example, if our error distribution is a Cauchy distribution, then marginal mean estimates could have infinite variance, but median regression give us finite variance. So from this point of view, median regression model could be more efficient. So this is the formulation of a generalized estimating equation in the context of longitudinal data, especially there's no missing observations. But we may notice in real situation, missing observations occur so often, even though your design attempts to collect all the observations, all the measurements at each assessment time. So for example, in here, if we intend to collect all the measurements and these six assessment times, but probably missing observations could occur, for example, at third or fifth assessment time. So in this case, our response vector actually consists of two different types of components. So we have actual observed data, which is the vector consisting of observed components, and yi script missing. This indicates we have some hypothetical response value which is not available to us. And we need to characterize this typical feature here by introducing this indicator function, which is non-missingness indicator here. And to have a valid statistical inference about our regression parameter in the context of incomplete data, we have to jointly model both response vector and indicator of missingness here. So this is a joint model of both quantities here. There are several different ways to characterize this joint probability function. You could either use this marginal probability function for indicator vector and the conditional distribution of response vector conditional on this missing data indicator. Or you could use the other way around to decompose this joint probability density function in terms of marginal information of response conditional on the covariate and append this conditional distribution of missing data indicator given response information. And we may notice in this formulation here we have an implicit assumption that both process response and missing data indicators have distinct parameters here. So beta is usually of our interest. And alpha is the associated but nuisance parameter in missing data process. So we're going to focus on this formulation to deal with incomplete longitudinal data. This is so-called the selection models. Now we can further try to understand the mechanisms of this conditional probability of indicator function given response information. So this is the strategies in handling this conditional distribution. And Richard has summarized these different missing data mechanisms this morning. So in principle, there are three types of missing data mechanisms. Missing completely and random, missing at random, and not missing at random. All people some terminology would be non-ignorable or informative missing data mechanisms. So the key feature of this classification is based on the dependence of conditional distribution of indicator vector on the response information. So for missing completely and random, there's no response information involved given covariance. For missing and random mechanisms, if we have already collected the observed response vectors, then this conditional distribution does not depend on missing data mechanism anymore. So, and more general case is not missing not at random mechanisms. And usually for estimation problems, we would focus on the first two missing mechanisms here. So I will quickly go through this weighted GEE to deal with incomplete data under assumption. Missing mechanism, missing completely and random, or missing at random. Usual GEE method could be applied to all available observed data. But if our missing data mechanism is MAR, we can't use this usual observed data. But instead, we have to modify this in terms of adding a certain covariate, inverse probability weight. This is because we want to have unbiased estimating function. For this unbiased estimating function, you could look at the joint expectation, which could be split into the conditional distribution of indicator given response and marginal expectation of y. So in this formulation here, if our missing data mechanism is missing completely and random, this is just a constant. So we could have zero expectation. Otherwise, you have to try to get rid of this quantity by introducing additional weights, which is related to inverse of the probability. So this formulation could be applied when our marginal emphasize is described in terms of mean model. And if we want to use median model to characterize our center here, could we apply the similar approach? So it turned out Nipsis et al. Have discussed this problem. But I think in their formulations here, they simply ignore the zero correlation for longitudinal data. And another major drawback is no asymptotic results are provided. So in our talk here, we're going to focus on our objective here is can we deal with incomplete longitudinal data in terms of weighted GEE if our center is modeled by mean regression models here? So I will quickly, so we move to the next part. I'll quickly go through this notation. So yij continuous response for subject I and time point j, and we have associated covariates, and this is the medium quantity of response given covariates information, and we have probability density function of response and medium. And we could set up regression models to connect medium to covariates of interest here. So G is a non-link function, and beta is the parameter of our interest. We are going to estimate this beta in terms of estimating function here. And one particular choice of for this link function could be identity function here. And this is for the model of response process. And for missing data process, we could here we will focus on monitor missing data patterns. And in that case, we can simply focus on the typical dropout time, which is characterized in terms of individual missing data indicator here. And conditional probability lambda ij will be introduced here. And we will focus on modeling this conditional conditional probability in terms of, for example, logistic regression model here. And alpha is the associated parameters in this regression model. And uij consists of the feature of design, all the information of our covariates. And we will focus on missing at random, all missing completed and random. So here, the response will be involved in this regression model based on those observed history here. And the weighted estimating function for this context is simply specified in terms of this form. So in here we have DI. The matrix DI is the derivative matrix of our medium vector with respect to parameter of interest. And this gamma I includes the information of probability density function at every medium here. And epsilon ij is the difference between indicator and this half here. This is because of the definition of medium. And VI is the covariance matrix of our residuals here. And you may notice for those diagonal elements, those entries are simply a quarter. And for off-diagonal elements, we have this joint probability for these two response components conditional on our covariate subtract quarter. So the remaining part here is what is this delta I? It turns out this delta I is the inverse probability weight matrix. It involves the information of missing data process. So our nuisance parameter alpha I occurs in this quantity here. Once we know this missing data information, then we could plug in this estimate, and we've got a function of a parameter of interest beta along. So in that case, estimation of beta could be proceeded based on this quantities here. And again, this inverse probability is simply formulated in terms of the typical diagonal matrix, and the diagonal elements involve the inverse probability. And the inverse probability pi ij is the product of conditional probabilities lambda ij. And estimation of parameter of nuisance parameter alpha here is straightforward. Once you can formulate the likelihood based on conditional probability, then you can easily obtain score function here. So I will quickly go through the algorithm of estimation procedure here. So we could apply three-stage estimation procedure to estimate our parameter beta here. First, we have to deal with nuisance parameter alpha. Once we can formulate the likelihood or condition likelihood for nuisance parameter, then regular Newton-Raphson approach could be applied to get our estimate alpha hand here. And once alpha hand is available, then we could look at a slightly modified estimating function, because in our previous formulation, we don't really know the joint probability of two components. So in here, we introduce this working matrix. So it could be identity matrix here. And based on this working matrix, you could estimate a certain parameter values of beta here. Then we can use empirical version to estimate joint probability for two response components. Then use this information, you could roughly estimate the covariance structure VI here. Then we can plug in this covariance VI and use this weighted GE to get the estimate of parameter of interest beta here. And finally, we'll present this theoretical results. It turned out this estimate beta hand is consistent, and it has asymptotic normal distribution here. Of course, this would be valid under certain regularity conditions here. So I won't go into the detail of this result here, but I'd like to point out the variance part for this asymptotic distribution is kind of sandwich type estimator. And another thing here is our parameter associated with our missing data comes into the play by this typical form. So next, I will illustrate how to use this method to analyze some real data and evaluate the performance of this method. So we're going to look at this neighbor pen data, which was discussed by Davis. And there were 83 women in this study. About 43 women are in the medication treatment group, and other 40 individuals are in placebo group. And there were six scheduled assessment times, and every 30 minutes we'll collect the amount of pain of the for those women in labor there, and these measurements are collected on a continuous scale from this typical line, 0 to 100 millimeters nice. And here, 0 indicates there is no pain at all. If measurements is 100, it indicates extreme pain here. And for other values in between, it just indicate various degrees of pain here. About 59% of individuals have missing observations. So this is a typical part of the data here. And we may notice the key feature in this data here is we have a monitor missing data pattern. And for this data set, we are interested in evaluating the labor pain difference for treatment and controlled group. And we want to understand if there's any time effect for this response here. So when we formulate our response model, we include treatment indicator X, I1. If it's zero, it indicates subject has received treatment. Otherwise, no treatment. And the temporary effect is included in this model. And we also have an interaction term here. And our missing data is modeled in terms of this kind of simple logistic model, in which case this coefficient alpha 1 indicates the nature of missing data mechanisms. If alpha 1 is 0, this gives us a missing completely and random mechanism. Otherwise, we have a missing and random mechanism here. And covariance XI1 is also included in this model here. Before we present the numerical results, let's look at this graph here. So this, for this blank box, it's a for this empty bars, it indicates the box plot for controlled group, and this shaded part indicates the box plot for treatment group, and the dotted line connect the observed medium outcomes for each group. So we can notice for control group, there is an increasing trend over time. But for treatment group, there is a slight trend, but it's not very obvious here. And our numerical studies give us probably better understanding of these models here. And so we may notice for our response coefficients beta 1, 2, 3, only beta 3 is significant. Beta 2, beta 1 are not significant. And you may notice treatment group is indicated by this model and control group indicated by this model. So the difference for the intercept and difference for the temporal effect is reflected by beta 1 and beta 3. And for our missing data process, alpha 1 is typical of our interest. It indicates different missing data mechanisms. So we found this is slightly significant here. So this is a brief summary about these numerical studies. They indicate if our model for missing data process is correctly specified, then it seems a missing and random mechanism is reasonable. We have a moderate evidence to indicate alpha 1 is not zero. For this response process, we found beta 2 is not significant. So it indicates patients in treatment group do not suffer increasing pains over time. But beta 3 indicates a difference between difference for the temporal effect. So this is we found very strong evidence here. The degree of pain in control group would increase as time goes by. And the baseline outcomes for two groups seems to be pretty much similar because there's no evidence for this coefficient beta 1 here. And finally, I will show you the simulation studies, which is used to evaluate the proposed method. So our response is generated by multivariate normal distributions, and we consider the exchangeable association structures, and we use the same models as before to identify our response and missing data indicator. And we look at this typical setting here. And we are typically interested in the association structure in our weighted estimating equation. So our method one is our proposed method. And for method two, we assume independent association structures. And this is, I will quickly show you this simulation results. The left part displays the bias and associated standard error. And the right part displays the coverage rates. And I will quickly summarize the findings from these simulation studies. And it seems finite sample biases for our proposed method or method one are pretty smaller than those from method two, which ignores the association structure. As the association role becomes larger, bias for the first method tend to reduce, but it seems there is no much change for the method two. And standard errors for both methods seems quite comparable. And the coverage rates for method one agrees reasonably well with our nominal level, but the coverage rates for method two are a lot smaller than our 95%. So this is the last page of my talk. I'll stop here.